Unity.com.
All right. You got me. So I started to lose my voice last night. Yoo-hoo! And thanks to that last song, trying to hit all those high notes, it may have gone a little more. But that's all right. So, all right. Yeah, no problem. I'll just, do we fist bump? How do we do this? Got it. Okay. So, you know, if I start to lose more, if it crackles or whatever, just, I'm going to roll with it, so you guys can too. Today is going to be a morning filled with lots of questions, okay? Lots of questions. And I want to start out with one right off the bat. And don't worry about shouting anything out. These questions are just to reflect upon internally. Okay, the first question is this. Have you ever felt this internal struggle to, on the one hand, to be unique, right? In other words, just be your own person. Yet on the other hand, to fit in with the crowd, right? To be like one of the guys, one of the girls. I ask because it seems that society likes to play both sides of that fence. Take Facebook, for example. If you scroll through your newsfeed on any given day, you're bound to see an inspirational quote, maybe like this one here, if we can tab forward. Yes. It says, just remember, you are your own person, so choose your own path and follow your heart, right? How many of you guys seen those, right? And absolutely, right? Yet, spend no more than 5 minutes watching TV, and you'll see commercial after commercial imploring everyone to be just like someone else, right? If you want to be like LeBron James, then wear his shoes. If you want to be like Dr. Dre, buy his headphones. If you want to be like Peyton Manning, right, buy that certain insurance, right? And pick up nearly any magazine and you'll find article after article, right, showing you how to have hair like a certain celebrity or to dress like another, right? We're constantly told that what really matters is to conform to what society says is acceptable or good. Which one is right? I think you could probably make arguments for either one, I suppose. For example, on the one hand, God, in his infinite creativity, did indeed make each of us unique, right? And if we spent all of our time trying to be just like someone else in this world, then we'd be doing God a great disservice. Now, if you listen to last week's message, then you know that each and every one of us, and if you didn't, I'm going to tell you, right? Each and every one of us was fearfully and wonderfully made by our Creator, individually crafted, and each and every one of us, his work of art. But then on the other hand, we were not made to spend our lives constantly searching out ways to be different from those around us. God made us to gravitate towards people of similar likes, towards people who are compatible with us. So when you boil it right down, the answer kind of depends a little bit on your perspective. Think of it like this, okay? Here I have a pitcher of water. All right, wonderful prop, okay? Now, if I want to quench my thirst with this delicious water, right, I will pour it into my glass. And notice how that water conforms to the glass, right? It takes the shape of the environment it's in, right? And when I lift it to my mouth and I pour the water in, it flows into my mouth and then I can have a drink of this delicious water. Oh, that's good. Okay? Just delicious. And I, for one, am glad that this water conforms to the environment that was in, because if it didn't, I'd have a really hard time drinking this delicious water. Okay? All right. Good. So the answer is always conform. Message is over. You guys can go, right? No, not so fast. Because what would happen if everything conformed to the environment that it was in? We'd certainly not have music, would we? Can you imagine if I picked up that guitar and it just kind of flowed around my fingers, right? Or if that guitar sounded just like every other guitar, right? I for one, am glad that that guitar wouldn't flow around my fingers. And I, for one, am glad that that guitar sounds different than that guitar, which sounds different than, well, technically two of those aren't guitars, but, you know, same thing, right? Think of the variety that we have in these stringed instruments here and how different they sound. if they all sounded exactly the same, then our worship every Sunday morning would kind of stink, wouldn't it? So it's good, right, that they're different and that they're unique. So each has its place depending on your perspective. But here's the thing. To really tackle this question head on is to realize that God has a perspective on this too. And we would all do quite well to try to understand what God's perspective is on this. And we do, and to do this, right, we need to, of course, turn to Scripture. And when you carefully interrogate the Word of God, you'll find this, that we, right, that we are in our individual uniqueness and in our own distinct creative expressions, all called to be the same. Can you believe that? Yeah. Verse after verse in Scripture tells us that, in fact, we are called to be like Christ. 1 John 2, right? If I pick up halfway from verse 5 through verse 6, it says, "By this we may know that we are in Him," that's Christ. "Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked," right? Be like Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul writes, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." 1 Peter 2:21, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you may follow in His footsteps." And Ephesians 5:1 says, "Therefore be imitators of God." Right? We are called to be like Christ. Now, at this point, you may be thinking that I'm about to spend a bunch of time talking about how we can all be like Christ. That's actually not what I'm going to do. What I am going to do is throw you a giant curveball, okay? And I'm going to take this in a different direction. Because you see, yeah, see, that's the physics around the curveball. I love physics. So, I don't know why I said that. Because the title of my message is called Playing with Fire, okay? And being like Christ, that doesn't really sound like playing with fire, does it? No, everything I talked about up until now is just the setup. Now, I'm not going to go into some fire and brimstone thing. That's not it. But we should all be like Christ. We should all live our lives in a way that pleases God. And there was no other person on this earth who pleased God more than Christ. We all know that. But why is it that we can all nod our heads and say, "Of course, I know that"? And yet, if you were to take an assessment of your life, a truly honest look at yourself, how many of you could actually say, "Yep, everything I do is just like Christ"? I know I can't. So I want you to take a look with me in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. In verse 1, Paul states, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Because, and this is really, really important here, we cannot be like Christ if we are conformed to this world. It can't be done. And Paul was telling his Roman readers, no, he was actually urging his readers, do not be conformed to this world. He was imploring them not to take the shape of the world around them like that water takes the shape of the glass it's in. He wanted them to be something completely different. Not conformed, but transformed, right, it says. Take a look at the next picture. This next picture, right, this is the quintessential photo or image of what it means to be transformed, right? We start off as something, and then we transform into something completely different. And I think, if we're honest with ourselves, deep down, we know this is what God wants for our lives. And yet we get caught up in the world. We get caught up in all the worldly things that surround us and fill our lives. And we live our lives trying our best to do both. To try to both live in Christ and live in the world. And as Christians, we often try to walk that line and get as close to that line as we can without actually crossing over the line, don't we? Let me ask you another question then. That line that we're trying so hard to get close to without actually going over, who put that line there? Was it God? Or was it society? Or us? And if you really think about it, you'll quickly realize there isn't just one line, but many different lines, right? Let me offer you a few examples you may have heard or even said. Look, I know as a Christian, I really shouldn't swear, but it's probably okay as long as I don't say certain words, right? Or, you know, this movie, it's got a lot of violence and sex, but technically it's not pornographic, so I'm okay. Or, hey, this book, it's really over-the-top raunchy, but I don't normally read books like this, so it's okay, right? So if you ever found yourself doing something like that, your conscience is telling you, hey, this isn't edifying, but yet you find some way to justify it all the same. And this can apply to many things, not just the examples I provided a few moments ago, right? The way we dress, the music we listen to, the TV shows we watch, our relationships, our living situations, how we handle our finances, how we treat others, right? Often we say things like, oh, you know, such and such really isn't all that bad. But you know what? If it isn't all that bad, then by definition, you know that it means it's also not all that good, right? Let me ask you this. Does God call us to live lives that just aren't so bad? Not according to what I read in Romans 12. What was verse 2, right? It was, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, before we go any further, please understand that I'm not saying all this because somehow I've got it all figured out and I think you don't, all right? No, I'm saying it because I struggle with this, and I know you do too. And it's my hope, right, that I've struck a chord with you and that you won't just take a position of, oh, that guy's just being legalistic. But rather, this would spark something in you to take assessment of your life and to seek God's heart in this matter. Because it's not just a matter of being good enough, or maybe better stated, making sure you're just not too bad. And it's not about trying to make sure you don't step over some imaginary line where you're good all the way up to that line. It's not about that. What it's about is knowing that we cannot be imitators of Christ if we are trying to also conform to this world. Like I said before, it can't be done. We can't have it both ways. And when you try, it's like playing with fire, right? And you know what they say about playing with fire? If you play with fire, eventually you will get burned. I want to give you a demonstration of this, okay? That's why I lit this candle. I've got here a candle and a marshmallow, right? And this flame is hot. So, what, I mean, we all know, right? If I took this marshmallow, right, and I put it directly in that flame, what's going to happen? It's going to start a fire. If I hold this marshmallow way over here, what's going to happen? Nothing at all, right? Okay, now, if I hold this marshmallow, and I get closer and closer to this flame, what's eventually going to happen? The thing is, yeah, aside from being absolutely delicious, what's going to happen is that this marshmallow, while it looks okay because it's not on fire, what it's actually doing is it's starting to change. And it's getting hard on the outside, and it's actually starting to discolor a little bit. That's what's going on here. That's what happens when we start to get closer and closer and closer to that line. That's the danger, folks, because we usually try to live our lives as close to that line as possible. And what happens is we begin to change too, and we don't even realize that we're changing. And it doesn't take very long, and this kind of walk-the-line approach, which seems innocent enough at first, gets away from us. And before we know it, we end up in a place we never intended to go. Satan wants us to think things are innocent, and you'll be fine walking that line because that's when he can burn us, right? Before you know it, you're in this flame, and then what happens? It starts to go up, and it's on fire. Most people who get involved in an extramarital affair will tell you that was never the intention from the onset. But attraction was left unchecked, and that turned into flirting. And the flirting was harmless, no big deal. But soon that turned into a touch, and then a kiss, then secret dates, and then before long, things went all the way. Right? It's not like two strangers just suddenly run into each other one day and decide, let's have an affair. It's not how it works. That line was walked, and it was deemed okay. And then that line was pushed out a little bit, and that was deemed okay. And so on and so on. Pornography works in the same way. So does alcoholism and drugs. But it's not just those big things, right? Same thing, swearing, gossip, so many things. See, Paul knew that. That's why he wrote what he did in that letter to the Romans. He knew that if they allowed themselves to walk that line, there was a danger that soon that they would push it out a little bit further next time. And a little further, and a little further. Take a look at our society. Over the last even 30 years, what used to be unheard of on TV is now shown on primetime. We kept walking that line. And over the years, we just pushed it out a little more, and a little more, and a little more. And now that line has been completely obliterated. And that line, it wasn't put there by God. It was put there by us. And we didn't seek his counsel to place it or to move it. We did that on our own. Recently, the TV station ABC Family, they changed their name to Freeform. And this is just my personal opinion here. I'm glad they did. Because what they were showing under that family banner was jaw-dropping. Teenage sex and violence and lying and adultery and cheating and stealing and drug use under that family banner. And it's a sad testament to things today when that type of show is what is deemed as good for the family. That's what Paul was saying when he said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is. Right? Not what man says is okay, but rather that which is good and acceptable and perfect. He was calling them to be like Christ, not to live a life that was trying to essentially get away with just as much as they could. And we must remember this applies not just to our actions, right, but also the things that we say. In Ephesians 4:29, Paul stated, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Can you honestly say, yep, I fit that description. In my words, I always build others up. In what I say, I give grace to all those who hear. I am ashamed to say that I cannot. So let me ask you this question here. If you had a microphone attached to you the entire day that recorded all of your words, and then that audio file was put on, say, Facebook, would any random person who listened be able to tell that you were a Christian just from hearing it? Would the people that you talked about, would they feel built up? Remember, we are called to be like Christ, but please know, Christ was even more than just his good deeds, and he was more than just his kind words. His heart was pure. God, he looks past the outside and right into our hearts, right? That's why setting some arbitrary line and working hard not to cross it accomplishes nothing. I want to read you another passage, and then I'm just going to be open and vulnerable with you. This passage, it cuts me right to the bone. Psalm 26:1-7 says this, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind, for your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. I do not sit with men of falsehood, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocence and go around your altar, O Lord, proclaiming your thanksgiving aloud and telling all your wondrous deeds." Paw. Right? That passage doesn't describe one who walks the line, does it? Now, before I had mentioned that we simply cannot be imitators of Christ while also trying to conform to this world. And I want to read you one more passage to really hammer home why this is the case. And it'll seem like maybe I'm kind of going into a different topic, but trust me, it'll come right back. It's because trying to do both of these leads to lukewarm Christianity. And unfortunately, the trend in Christianity today is moving more and more towards being okay with lukewarm. But look what Christ said to the Apostle John, as recorded in Revelation 3. Verse 14, it says, "To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God," that's Christ, "says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold," which would be like invigorating or refreshing, "nor hot," which would be therapeutic and comforting. "I wish that you were hot or cold. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." So what about you? What about me? Right? Where are you at with your walk with the Lord? If Christ was going to write you a letter, or me, what would he say? Would he say you're lukewarm? Trying to operate just shy of some line so that you don't get burned? That's what the Laodiceans were doing. And Christ had some pretty harsh imagery for them. Or are you transformed? You're not interested in conforming to this world and what it has to offer. Now, as I begin to close things out, I know that this topic that I chose for this morning was very heavy. And it was probably quite convicting. At least I hope it was. And if it wasn't, then please come talk to me afterwards, because I want to have a more fundamental conversation with you. So like I said, I know it was heavy, but from time to time, we all kind of need a little kick in the butt. I know I do. So if that is you today, if you're feeling like you just got kicked in the butt, I do have some good news for you. It doesn't have to remain that way. You don't have to let it. You have the choice every day to make decisions that bring you closer to that line, closer to conforming to the things of the world, where you slowly become harder and harder and more discolored, like that marshmallow as it got closer to the flame, or to make decisions that bring you closer to being transformed from the image of this world, right? Yes. To the image of Christ, like this pure white marshmallow, right? Like I mentioned before, last week we heard a really wonderful message from Rob. If you haven't heard it, I do suggest that you go on to our website and take a listen to it. It was really cool, and that message was about asking us to contemplate what we are worth. And I must say that what we heard is so very encouraging, that we were created by a loving God, that we were chosen by Him to receive that wonderful love, that we were purchased by that love, with the very blood of Christ. And that because of that love, we have an inheritance waiting for us. And that, my friends, makes us very, very valuable. So I want to close out then this morning just asking one more question for you to ponder, tying this all together. If we are, in fact, that valuable to God, why would we choose to spend our time doing anything that doesn't bring Him honor? Right? Please think about that as you leave today and as you go on. And today, as you leave, I have a gift for you. Don't get too excited. It's not that great of a gift. It's in a bowl in the back, okay? And it's a marshmallow. It's just a marshmallow, right? But it's just meant to be a reminder, okay? So you can take one if you like. You can put it someplace to remind you from time to time that you do have a choice. Right? Because I know how easy it is to get drawn into the things of this world. But remember, you have a loving God on your side that's crazy about you. And He doesn't want you to play with fire by walking that line and getting closer and closer. Instead, He wants you to draw near and near to Him. And so what I just say right now, let's do that together in prayer. Let's bow our heads in prayer and pray. Father, we acknowledge the things of this world are very tempting. They're there in front of us all the time, and society's telling us that's what makes life worth living. And sometimes they're really fun, and sometimes everyone's doing them, and we just get caught up. But I would ask, Father, for each and every one of us here, and anybody who might be listening later, that you would help us not be conformed to this world, but transformed in our minds. Let us not throw some line out there and work so hard and put so much effort into not crossing over it. But instead, let's put our efforts into knowing what your will is, to pleasing you and loving you, worshiping you. And when society tells us we're crazy for doing that and we're stupid for doing that, would you just remind us how valuable we are to you? That you created us. We are your works of art. You're proud of us. And when we screw up, you still love us. We're still your works of art. So, Father, again, I just want to pray that as we go forth today, that you would just put it on our hearts and our minds how loved we are, how valuable we are, and to just want to do everything in our power to please you. So, Father, I just want to lift up all the prayers today, those said and those kept in our hearts, and give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So today, feel free to stick around afterwards, have some refreshments, and like I usually say when I'm up here, please get there before my kids do, because if you don't, all the treats will be gone. Okay? All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.